I don't know whether to be happy or sad for going after. I think our talks actually overlap a whole lot. So that was a great talk. Yeah, I shall be happy. So basically, there are three points that I want to make here. And those three things are the sort of problems we get when trying to maintain a large source base that has multiple developers involved. And just a little background, I work at Bitmover. We make a source control management system called BitKeeper. You might have heard about it in the news. One of the interesting things that BitKeeper allows you to do is parallel development. So, and one of the things that you don't really get with other systems, and this is not a sales pitch, but you can actually merge stuff back. So the sort of issues we have is somebody takes the source base in 2000 and makes some changes, implements a feature, and those just sit there for a while. The source base advances in other areas and other features get implemented. And then 5 years later, somebody goes back and sees that from 5 years ago and says, hey, this is good now. It didn't make a whole lot of sense back then, but now we want it. And we can go run a command, pull it, and merge it, right? So it's the programmer who did the work might not be there. And so maintainability is a big thing for us. We want to be able to just glance at the code and understand what it's doing. Sometimes we don't even see the whole thing. We're just seeing diffs flying by. So we have three lines of context, above and below. And sometimes that's not enough and you have to go see, but more often than not, we can tell. And I believe that data structures are key to understanding the code. The way you usually approach it is you understand the data structures, and when you're following code, you have the data structures printed out or in your head, and then you just match the code. And the final thing is syntax matters, and you're going to see why. And that's just a quote by Robert Glass. It's kind of interesting because you think that bug fixes amount to a lot, but he actually went and looked, and 60% of the cost of software is maintenance, and 60% of that maintenance is not bug fixing. It's adding features, enhancing the software. And that's actually harder than fixing bugs. When you're fixing bugs, you don't really need to understand a whole lot of things. You just go, you know, this is broken, fix it. Or when you're enhancing it, it's a lot harder. So what's our approach for maintainability? We try to keep as little state as possible, most of it in one place, so that there's one place you need to go and look at the state. You can put it in your head, right? I mean, it's nothing, it's not rocket science. We try to do code collocation. Everything that's related is in the same place, so that you have this nice grouping of things. And we try to avoid magic at all costs. I think it was Brian Cunningham who said, debugging and extending is so much harder that if you code at your smartest level, by definition, you're not smart enough to debug it. So it's got to be simple. And a perfect example that I read on the internet is if you take a look at i=j+5 in C, you can tell exactly what's going on. You're adding 5 to j and assigning it to I. They have to be numbers, right? I mean, they might be pointers, but yeah, well, if you take a look at that in C++, you cannot tell anything about that code. I mean, I and J might be objects inherited from somewhere else. Somebody might have overloaded the plus operator. Somebody might have overloaded the equals operator. And they might not really be the objects you think they are because there might be automatic typecasting in place. And now you have to go look everywhere. You have to read all the thing. And it's actually not enough. You have to go and run it and go through a debugger. And so with tickle, upbar, and uplevel, I mean, they're really nice, and they're really powerful. And if you saw Spider-Man, you know that with great power comes great responsibility. So if you use upbar to go three levels up my stack and mess with my local variables, how am I to know that? I mean, that's the sort of thing that, makes it really hard to understand code. So we try to avoid those things. Another key observation is Eric Raymond paraphrased Fred Brooks in the Mythical Man Month, that basically saying the way to understand code is to look at the data structures. If you thought thoroughly about your data structures, the code doesn't really matter that much. You can change it, and you can read it, you can rewrite it, you can do a lot of things, and the data structures are going to help you. If you didn't put a lot of thought in your data structures, it's going to make it really hard to do anything, right? So the key to understanding code is understanding the data structures, which brings us to TCL. There are not really data structures in TCL. I mean, you can create them, but you have to create them using code. So whatever data structures you can create, they're dynamic. You're creating them on the fly using code, right? So you have to actually go and read the code to understand the data structures and just sort of pull them out of the code. There's no nice place where you can go and say, these are the data structures, and this is the code. I mean, they're very mixed. And that's not really surprising. If you go back to the origins of TCL, it was not really meant to write large applications. I mean, John Osterhout said it. He was working on Magic, I think, which was a little circuit simulator. And I remember using Magic, and it had a little nice command line interface, but like it was like 90% C and the little TCL interpreter. So it makes a lot of sense. And if you look at some code, like this is just something from the SNIT widget. Yeah, from SNIT widget. I mean, if you don't know anything, I mean, if you're very familiar with SNIT widget, you can probably tell right away what's going on. But if you're looking at this without a lot of background, well, I don't really know if component's a proc, it's creating a variable or not, and you know, it's. I see these nice comments here. Oh, okay, so this is probably horizontal lock, vertical lock. It's talking about redisplaying, and I can sort of tell what's going on here. And I don't know. It doesn't give me a warm, fuzzy feeling that I am getting the data structures, right? Even though it's object oriented, and all that stuff. And if you look at plain old TCL object from the C code, that gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling because I can go and see the fields. I know there's no way that they can change these fields later in the code. I mean, what's there is all there is. I can understand the data structure. I can print it. It's very nicely commented. And it's kind of nice to look at. So what are we trying to do? We're actually adding data structures back into TCL. And trying to add syntactic sugar so that the data structures are easy to use. And I'm not really going to stop. I mean, this is just a quick overview of what it's doing. I'm not going to bore you with the details. I actually wrote a man page that if you're interested, you can go and read. But basically, the idea is, and this is where we overlap a lot with Will, we have a struct-defined photo, right? And I was talking to Brian Griffin and calling these things types, and he actually said, type is such a strong word, right? And I agree. I mean, they're not types in what you will think as types in type languages. They're just hints about what the intent of that variable is. They have a purpose, and we're going to see later we can use them for validation. Pretty much, I mean, it's... We should have talked before. We should have. Well, so at any rate, so you have definition. It's like a hint of what the field's for. You have the field name. You have one initializer. And you have a comment. And that syntax is not cast in stone. I just did it like that because it's a TCL list, so you can just parse it easily. But you can just CC parse any other syntax. And one of the points that was brought up is that it makes it a lot easier to read if it's made explicit that this is a comment. So if we put a semicolon number in there, that makes it clear that it's a comment and it's not a string. But that's for later. But the key idea is you want that structure to be immutable. And that's one thing that's lacking in any, well, almost all data structures in TCL are mutable. You can change them after the fact. And that's actually a very important thing because if you look at how people compensate for the lack of data structures is that they put all the initializer code initialization code in one place, right? You create a view widget, so you create a data array, and you put all of your fields here. Okay, so I can come here to the create method and look at all that and say, oh, so it's got base, like pages, blah, 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 all that stuff, right? Then I actually create a view widget, and I use introspection to look at it, and I'm getting these three guys. So where did those come from, right? They're somewhere else in the code. They're not, I mean, somebody added it and didn't bother going back to the declaration and actually adding them. And it's kind of unfortunate that they chose DBG for some background color or something like that. Because if I was adding a debug feature, DBG will be pretty much what I will choose. And so now it means I have to go and read all of the code for the notebook widget to see if I can add a field, if it's okay, if it's then, or I have to go and use introspection. And that's not a good thing, right? The point is, immutability is important because if you're counting on programmers' discipline to actually go and do it, they won't. And especially if you have parallel development where you have programmer A doing one feature and programmer B doing another feature, programmer A needs line counts as part of the structure, so he adds it somewhere else. Programmer B also needs line counts and adds it somewhere else. Then you merge the code. Now you have two different places where the line counts are being kept, and you have to read all the code to understand it. And now a third person comes and changes the way you count lines, and it goes and looks for the one he knows about, so he changes it in one place, and now we have a bug where they are out of sync and becomes a big mess. So immutability is probably key. So if you look at the syntax of that slide, it's very, very close to what you've seen a couple of minutes ago. We'll show you. But now comes the other part, which is we actually want syntactic sugar. If you look at this, those two things are doing the same thing, but the syntax here makes it explicit that you're operating on a structure. So you have $p pointer to the field name, and then you can tell just by looking at that line that p is a structure. There's no ambiguity at all. And is it really, really important? I think, yeah. First of all, if you're going to do widgets and traces, it's kind of cumbersome to... I mean, the lack of structures in TCL means people reinvent them all the time, and they do it with global arrays or with namespaces or, you know, all sorts of different things. But at the end of the day, you want to trace a variable or pass a variable name to text variable, so you have two choices. Either you have syntactic sugar that makes it easy to do that, or you create a proc that just goes and uses introspection or whatever and digs the actual variable name from wherever it is you have it and pass it there. But this is more explicit. Besides, it's easier to type. It's less characters. And the thing that we love the most is that it makes the kind of variable explicit. I mean, you could reuse array syntax or use helper procs or some other trick for actually making traces and widgets work. But the nice thing about this is just by looking at that one line of code, you can tell. You don't have to look anywhere else. Which brings me to something that Donald was saying yesterday. When they were doing the object orientation and Donald was telling us how that's going to work, one thing that caught my attention is when you look at the object and you look at Fido bark 1 and Fido times 1, which one's the method call, which one's the field, which one's the assignment to a field? You can't tell. Right, and if you look at C#, for instance, well, this is just syntactic sugar. They're actually doing the same. And anybody who knows C# knows that, yeah, you can put a proc that's a getter or a setter, and then it's not really an assignment. There's something being called, but you can tell immediately which one's a field and which one's a method. You don't have to go and look at the class definition. You can just stare at that one line of code, and you know something about it. So syntax is important. Syntax allows you to just stare at something and immediately understand the meaning or the intent of it, or it makes you go look. And we also have nested structs. That's this is just a linked list, but it makes the use of the pointer operator makes it be really nice, and you can actually they sort of behave like a pointer right now. So to do the value, you will have to do that get and set and turn them into lists. But the nice thing is that you can chain them when you have that. I talked about validation. So the first field that you have allows you to attach a proc to the structure definition. And you can make that proc run every time any field is changed. So you can actually validate not only it's so that's why I said it's not like types. Because you can go and say, for instance, if it's a path, I want to make sure that it's readable, that there is a file there and it's readable. So or if it's an integer, you can just do other things. Right. So you can do pretty much whatever you want. And you can turn it on and off. So you could say, well, for every instance of photo structures, use this proc for validating. And then if you pass something, it'll error, right? And if you just pass it an empty string, then it won't validate, right? It's pretty straightforward. The closest thing that we could find was the struct record. And it's pretty close because it's the only data structure that I could find that had immutability. It's the only one that once you've created it, you can't add any more fields. And it's not by design. It's because the way it was implemented, it's doing aliases to a certain proc. So when you create the struct, the aliases get created. Later on, everything's in syntactic sugar just to call that one proc. So it's immutable, but not by design. And that means that if you try to add a field, you'll get a weird error, proc not found. I'm adding a field to a struct, and it's proc not found, right? And the other thing that I don't like is it uses widget syntax. That makes it, I mean, what is that? $W configure width 10, height 20. Is that a widget? Is that a structure? Is that, I mean, again, syntax is important. Can we make the stuff the structure stuff we're doing an extension? Almost. We need, the syntactic sugar needs changes to the Tickle interpreter, or we need some way of hooking unknown variables, like pretty much like the unknown proc. When there's a proc that you haven't defined, unknown gets called. We will need something that when there's a variable that the interpreter cannot find, something gets called, or there's a hook for us to do that. All the other stuff can be done as pure Tickle. And lastly, and very important, once you have the struct thing working, you can actually make Tickle link bar link C structures with Tickle structures, right? And it's a little trickier because you need to match the structure definition, so you need something like a structure in the Tickle side of it, but we think we can make that work. C doesn't have any introspection. So basically, that's it. The three things I said I was going to talk about. Do you have any questions?
Have you actually implemented any of that syntax sugar yet?
Not like this. I mean, this is an idea that has evolved, and we have prototypes. Brian actually worked on an earlier version that didn't have a lot of this stuff. So something like I presented, no.
Do you intend to implement?
Yes, definitely. The idea is to do the implementation, write a tip, bounce it around the mailing list, and you know, gather ideas and evolve it into something that's usable. As I said, we think that data structures are key for maintainable code.
What's the time frame for you think you having it to the point where you can write the tip?
I will say it will take a couple of months just to, you know, get it to a stable place where it's just implementing, and then it's pretty fast.
I mean, you can have some influence on that, Brian. People are kind of seeing the value that we're seeing, and people are going, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Our motivation for doing it goes up. We're really looking for a certain amount of consensus, and we probably need to go huddle with Will and see how we can overlap what we're doing.
Yeah.
And converge, because I think we're two peas in a pod.
I think so. The one concern I have about your new syntax is that would bump the number of rules up to 13.
Well, we could add two new things. It would be 14.
To go past the... Yeah, sorry.
You realize that the one immutable data structure, at least that I've used a lot, is AnchorTickle. Because once you create an AnchorTickle class with its variables, you can't change it without blowing away the entire class and all the objects. And in fact, that's one criticism of AnchorTickle, is it's not very ticklish because it's immutable once you define the class.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I looked at AnchorTickle. I looked at the one that it's being considered for importing. Yeah, sorry, Cole.
I understood that one.
And that one's fully dynamic. You can just create stuff, so... But I'll go look at that one. It's in my mind, immutability is key. I mean, that's the whole... everything else is nice to have, like having objects and all that stuff. But if you take away immutability, you've made me go look at all the code again. Because I can't trust that nothing is adding stuff. Right. Yeah.
Concerning your choice of the minus... close angle bracket for to select fields out of a record.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious on that as to why not something even short like dots.
Yeah, well, it evolved from the structures behaving like pointers. So we thought, well, if we're going to have pass-by-value semantics, then we'll use dot. And if it's pass-by-reference semantics, then we'll use the pointer operator. And that's... I mean, I'm not married to the pointer operator. It can be dot. It's just as long as I have a visual cue that is a structure and it's not an array and it's not a widget and it's not, I can just tell by looking at the line what's going on. I'm fairly open. I think Larry might not be as open as I am, but but I am fairly open to that. Any more questions? No tomatoes? Thanks a lot.